language, culture, and here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. You know, before the show, I was sitting in the dark room saying, I could care less about politics right now. I'm bored of it. I just want to vote and get it over with and be done with it already. Can we just have the election and stop this? It's an obsessive compulsive nation. Every topic takes forever in order to be resolved. Elections, I never saw anything like this. It's a joke. I mean, the whole thing is it's the ancient, you know, just bread and roses. It's nothing. And then I was saying, what do people really care about right now? They just want stupid jokes, pornography, titillation, stupidity. What do they want? So then I said, wait a minute. Years ago, there was a motto that said, conservatives care about God, guns, and gays. So I said, well, put an X through gays. That's off the table. Put an X through God. That was removed under this regime. There is no God. Obama has destroyed the whole concept of God completely in America. So put an X through God and gays. So all the conservatives have left is guns. So I said, no, that's not it. I said, today it's gone from God, guns, and gays to Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. I said, yeah, that's what conservatives care about today, is Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. That's all they care about. I mean, for decades, conservatives knew what they were and what they stood for. They were defined by their faith, by their family. They revered the Second Amendment, which protected those families from an oppressive government and from break-ins. And there was never a question that marriage was between a man and a woman. Everyone knew that. Everyone knew what that was. Those were bedrock principles for what made America great. Now, the same theme does not operate anymore. Nobody would recognize conservatives of today. Then along came the Tea Party. Tea Party elected some people to Congress. Those elected to Congress either did nothing or were co-opted and valued open borders, telling us to eschew our religion and accept the foreign religion, telling people to accept, well, anyone in the bathroom. If a man walks in with 6'5" with a beard and looks like Paul Bunyan in a lumberjack outfit but says, hey, I feel like a woman inside. I'm going to the woman's room. Well, that's his right in San Francisco. And, of course, now in the rest of America, that a man 6'5", dressed as a lumberjack, can say he's a woman inside and go into a woman's room to look at women. And, of course, if you say anything, well, you're the bigot. This is the insanity right now. This is what's happened. The world is upside down. But it didn't start with him. It began with George W. Bush. He said he was a compassionate conservative, which was my phrase, as you well know. It wasn't good enough that there was a thing called conservatism, but he became a compassionate one. Now, we all sat back as the left waged a relentless war on our churches, on the Bill of Rights, and on traditional institutions like marriage. And we trusted our leaders in Congress to stand up to the left, to do what we wanted them to do. We were the silent majority. Problem is, we had no representation. They didn't do what we wanted them to do. No, instead, the left won all of the culture wars. So as I say, put an X through God, an X through the issue of gays. All you got left are the guns. So what are the issues today? Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. Now, here we are on the verge of literally losing our nation, erasing our borders, accepting individuals in, whole populations of individuals who hate our way of life, hate our religion, and would do us harm. And we're supposed to toss our faith to the roadside. And so the question today is, what do conservatives care about today? I could ask you that. What do you care about? You think I'm right when I say it's Mexicans, Muslims, and metros? Well, I'm going to ask you that. What do you really care about? If it's not God, guns, and gays, what is it now? What does the conservative movement stand for? What are you let's say an average person who loves America, what do you actually believe in? Well, I defined it as borders, language, and culture, but apparently that hasn't been picked up by anyone because it would have to be accredited to me. And since most of what I say is stolen by everyone else in the media without attribution, I'm starting to think that the next time I go on the air, I'm going to say, hey, everyone, I'm finally going to give up the secret to my great voice and my great mind. I gargle hydrochloric acid every morning. That's a good way to get rid of all my competitors. There'll be a rush to buy hydrochloric acid. And all those who copy virtually everything I say and do every day will be gargling hydrochloric acid And, of course, the results won't be very, very, very satisfactory. So here we are. I'm asking you again. From God, guns, and gays to Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. Or shall we say we have gone from better dead than red to better dead than Ahmed? Would that work? Well, I think the best way to begin the show is the way I just began the show, and thank you for making the show number one on WABC and in so many other markets in the country. Yeah, I know numbers don't lie. They're very inconvenient truths. But the ratings came out for last month on WABC in New York, and I just that beat everyone on the station. That's why they hate me so much around America. And the best way to get rid of someone is say that he doesn't exist. But I do exist. And I'm not going anywhere, whether it's here or elsewhere. I will be here. I will be here. I've been here a long time, and I don't intend to go anywhere. You'll hear me one way or the other, I can guarantee you. There's always a way to reach your audience. That's all I can say. And I will reach my audience one way or the other. And so, again, we come back to the issue of the day. We have an issue of illegal immigration. We have the issue of the culture wars. And people don't know who to turn to. They don't seem to have any representation. Trump seemed to be the man, S-E-E-M-E-D. S-E-E-M-E-D, past tense. But something's happened with Donald Trump since he won those five big states. Haven't heard from him on the Savage Nation, have you? Oh, no, no. He's on every other show in the world now. We haven't asked him on. I haven't. He hasn't asked to be on. And he's moved so far to the center on so many issues, it's hard to know where he stands at all. So we're hoping Donald Trump comes back on the Savage Nation and tells us that Big Daddy hasn't gone away. Big Daddy is still there for us. Big Daddy's still going to build a wall. Big Daddy is still going to keep the Muslims out. Big Daddy is still going to fight the culture war, but I doubt it. I know where it's going. I've seen it coming. I know who the advisors are. Yes, that's true. And if you think we have no troubles, let me play you a soundbite that was just given by Vicente Fox, who's becoming an increasingly unhinged lunatic by the day. He's the former president of Mexico. For some reason, he thinks he's the leader of the entire North American Free Trade Association. He may be, in fact. I don't know who he represents. But Vicente Fox has taken on America, hates Americans, attacks Americans, tells us that we have to take in all of the unwashed and poor of Mexico and take care of them because their country can't do so. Listen to Vicente Fox threatening war in the following clip.
We're coming back to the era of the ugly American, which was the gringo was hated all around the world. And this guy, pretty soon he got the title now. Yeah. He is the ugly American. He is the hated gringo because he's attacking all of us. He's offending all of us. Imagine, I mean, that could take us to a war, not to a trade war. I can tell you, in Mexico, we have a saying. We say, okay, we are chiquitos. Yeah. We're small, but we're Picassos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're like the jalapeno. So don't play around with us. Don't play around with us. We can jump walls. We can swim rivers. And we can defend ourselves.
So from God, guns, and gays to Mexicans, Muslims, and metro. So now we know exactly why we need a wall with Mexico. It's to keep out people like Vicente Fox, keep him on the other side of the border, because the man is a warmonger and a maniac who hates America. He actually thinks that we're a bunch of patsies who can't defend our own nation. They've gotten away with it for so long. They have so trampled on our borders, on our language, and our culture that they think that that's a status quo. It's a given. How dare you tell us that we can't spit on your culture? How dare you tell us that we can't dance on your flag and wave the Mexican flag? How dare you tell us that we have to learn English? No, gringo. You are the hated American. No, gringo. You are the hated American. No, gringo. You are the gringo. Did you find that speech weird, that he threatened war, that if Trump wins, there's going to be a war with Mexico? Are you concerned about that? I don't know how my fellas, Doug and Jim, got this soundbite. When did this appear, Doug? I didn't see it on anybody's site. No one has played it yet today. Where'd you get this? Did anyone else play this soundbite? I never heard this anywhere. Of course, I don't listen to any other show because I don't have the time. And I told you a long time ago, I learned this 20 years ago when I started in radio. You don't listen to other radio shows because you subliminally start to copy them. which is why you hear so much of my show, gringos, on other shows. Because so many listen all the time, they don't even know they're imitating me. And the reason my voice sounds different than all the others, gringos, is because I gargle every morning, I gargle with hydrochloric acid. That's my little secret. I'm giving it away after all my years in radio. The reason I have this great voice is I gargle with hydrochloric acid. I'll be back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. To Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. What do conservatives care about today? Well, you can hear by Vicente Fox's speech, I wasn't wrong when I said that we care about Mexicans. Some of them are quite imperialistic. And frankly, there's a lot of racism coming over the border. There's certainly cultural imperialism. There's an overt racism in La Raza. It says the race. But I know we're not supposed to say that. We're supposed to shy away from the obvious. After all, the only racist can be of a certain race, according to everyone else on the planet. That's called cultural suicide or genocide, self-genocide. It's a self-genocide going on in the West, by the way, beaten up by the radical communities into having any pride in themselves. They're now being stepped on by everyone in the world. So let's take some calls. Brian on KSFO. Go ahead, Brian.
1492, no border control was considered. Everyone was able to come over while these brown and melanated folks, original, quote-unquote, original Mexicans, were here, the natives, and were raped and pillaged and bred into.
We heard all about it, right. And what did they do while they were here? What kind of culture did they have?
They were natural with the land.
Go on with natural. We heard the word natural. What was their civilization like here before the white man destroyed it?
The civilization was a peaceful civilization.
What do you mean by people civilization? What was it like living when this was a Native American continent? Tell me what it was like.
I'm sorry, there's no such thing as a Native American because America was created after.
All right, stop reading the ethnic studies brochure that you have in your hand. You have challenged a national talk show host into telling me that before the white man came, there was paradise in North America. Isn't that what you're saying?
I'm not going to say paradise, but I guarantee that the white man's influence, the Eastern European influence, was not here. There was a different understanding here. And when
Of course it wasn't here. Well, the reason you're here is because of the Eastern European influence. Virtually every invention that you use was from Eastern Europeans, or Europeans specifically. So what is it that you're glorifying, the noble savage, is what you're saying, aren't you?
No, not the noble savage, because the savage was...
What he broke up? The white man's phone broke up? The technological disaster called the telephone broke up? From how much time do they get in prisons to make calls to radio shows? A minute? 2 minutes? Can we send them a cuter? I've heard it before, if you actually study Native American culture. I mean, be realistic. I was so enamored of Native American culture, I spent 5 years studying as much as I could. And I wrote a book in 1972, published in 72 by Macmillan, entitled Earth Medicine, Earth Foods. There were so many phenomenally wonderful things that were done by Native American tribes in terms of medicines and whatnot. And, of course, they did introduce corn to the world. I understand that through hybridization. But if you look at how they treated each other, do you know what they did to each other, one tribe to the other, when they captured another tribe member? Do you know what they did to their wives and daughters? It's a family show. I won't repeat it. Do you know what they did to the men of the other tribes when they captured them? They would skin them alive, peel their skin off with razor-sharp stones and throw them out in the snow. Just for a little fun. That's how sensitive some of these tribesmen were. So please don't glorify the past when you know nothing of the past. And those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it, which is exactly why we are descending into the jungle in America today, because of the fools like the one who just called, who thinks that if a man is natural, he's automatically good. Most natural men are monsters. If a natural man is not civilized by Christianity or another religion that tends to temper his evil ways, what you wind up with is absolute barbarism. my friends. That's the reality of the world. So we can move on. I can read you the whole list of inventions invented by the dreaded white male. I think I will in the next segment. I've done this. One of my favorite show topics. It always provokes response because you can't refute reality. So during the break, I'll get that long list I wrote in 1998 about the inventions of the dreaded white male. And then we'll compare and contrast with the natural man. And we'll see what the natural man has given the world. Then you have to ask yourself why the European developed so beyond every other culture in his time. Now, it is true that in ancient China, by the 11th century, they were ahead of everyone in the world. Now, this is a very important diversion that only I could do in 30 seconds or less. No history teacher on earth can do what I'm about to do. China was more advanced than any civilization on earth. They had 5-masted sailing ships, gunpowder, superior language, literature, arts. What happened to them? What happened was the governments in China collectivized long before communism. It became ruled by from the top down, like you see with Obama. It became centralized. Regulations were put in place. The Mandarins took over China. And this bureaucracy called the Mandarins crippled all of the advancements of China. And for 800 years or more, they were crippled because of the Mandarins. Now, who are the Mandarins of today? Congress are the Mandarins of today. Especially the Democrat Socialists. They are the Mandarins of today.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
God, guns, and gays to Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. What do conservatives care about today? So, well, you know, listen, the creativity is so great on this show. The Persian miniatures that are created in any segment on this show are vast. I should get a Nobel Prize, a Pulitzer Prize, a Marconi Award, be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, but since I don't exist, none of that will happen. Everything I just mentioned to you is political. And since I have no political clout whatsoever, it's just me and you, babe. But what I have done and what I do on the radio every day is on the level of a Nobel Prize. What I just did for you about what happened to China and what is happening to America as a result of centralization and the Mandarins is a brilliant insight. And now I think I'll add to it a little bit for all of you who glorify the noble savage. It's a little article that was entitled White Male Inventions by myself, December 15th, 1999. It first appeared in Newsmax magazine. White Male Inventions from December 15th, 1999 by yours truly, Michael Savage. Trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, and fax machines. All miracles made possible by the minds and spirits of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Casselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other so-called dead white males. Few understand any of this. Few understand any of this. What I'm about to tell you is tantamount to blasphemy in this politically insane day and age. But truth is truth. How long are we going to omit the fact that the white male has contributed so much to the world? Science, technology, and economics of the world in which we live? Our present economic boom that we've had for years now? We are in an economic boom for one segment of the society under Obama. That's because of the government pumping money into the economy, but it's a boom nevertheless for those at the top. The fact of the matter is, these things have a traceable set of origins. The great majority of inventions, past and present, have been brought about by the genius and inventiveness of that most despicable of genders, the dreaded white male. This is not to discredit the many contributions coming from non-Europeans, but fact is fact. Our most important and consequential inventions have come almost exclusively from white males. You can curse me if you want, or all white males if you wish. That will change nothing. But if you call me a liar, you'll have to come up with the proof that I'm wrong. Remember, I didn't say that there were no important contributions by non-Europeans. I said the overwhelming majority. Of course, I know about such things as the Chinese and gunpowder, but they didn't take it much beyond firecrackers and pyrotechnics. And yes, I know about the pyramids and masonry of South America and the zero of the Arabs. But would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers, who, for example, had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? Aristotle, 5th century B.C. He used electrical charges to treat gout. Archimedes perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres. From the basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it went to the Romans, and after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans who expanded on this scientific knowledge. In modern times, these ideas were developed by such Europeans as Volta, Ampere, Watts, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today. All of them dreaded white males. Now, maybe you got your enlightenment from one of the Ivy League institutions of lower living. Maybe they taught you that it's all a result of white racism and oppression. That every time a potential Einstein, Edison, or Ford popped up in the third world, a white hit squad would swoop down and eliminate him before he had a chance to prove himself. Or maybe their schools refused to teach him in the Ebonics of his day. Or maybe they didn't have proper daycare facilities. Or maybe a would-be innovator was a transgender who was oppressed. But the facts tell us that many of the great men pursued their genius at great personal risk, like the astronomer Galileo, who proved that the Earth revolves around the sun. He and other men of great genius and courage refused to be suppressed, even if it cost them their lives. They would permit no race, gender, or group or class to keep them from their pursuit of truth and excellence, whatever the cost. And I warn you, this is a cautionary tale. All of you haters, if you eliminate, suppress, or debase the white male, you'll kill the goose that laid the golden egg. If you continue to keep acing him out with affirmative action, exile him from the family, teach him that he's a blight on mankind, then bon voyage to our civilization. We will devolve into a third world cesspool. Where has there ever been in history a group of human beings who have brought about the likes of the Magna Carta, the U.S. Constitution, and the countless life-saving and life-improving inventions that we now enjoy? Now, I said earlier, it's true that China did lead the world in technology and commercial inventiveness about 1,000 years ago. They had great coal mining operations, gunpowder, 6-masted sailing ships, and intense commercial enterprise. But it all collapsed because the elites, the long-nailed mandarins, centralized control 1,000 years before Mao Zedong crushed the expansion and inventions. Does this mean we should just sit back and let ourselves be governed by someone just because he's a white male? Of course it doesn't. It means simply that we shouldn't suppress anyone, including white males. Let all of our God-given gifts run free in a free and just society, free from the oppression and tyranny of social engineers. Few of us have truly outstanding gifts. Never forget that. Most of mankind is very untalented. Most of us have to humbly accept that there are others around who are more gifted than we are. In a democratic society, it's not for Big Brother to decide who shall thrive and who shall struggle in the hive. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of this monologue. It's more true today than it was in 1999. And for this monologue alone, I deserve a Nobel Prize, but I will not get it. For this monologue alone, I deserve the Marconi Award from the radio industry. I will not get it. For this monologue alone, I should be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, but I will not be inducted in the Radio Hall of Fame. Have you been to the bookstore to pick up Teddy and me? What happened in the bookstore? I'm not going to get a Nobel Prize for Teddy and me, but I'm curious if you were there. And by the way, sometime during the next hour or so, I'm going to jump skip to another subject altogether. Last night I was watching a series on, I forget what the network it's on. It's called The Girlfriend Experience. It's a phenomenal series. I was so captivated by it, not for the sex, which is rather mild. It's not pornographic in that regard. The acting, the writing, the art direction, the lighting, the stage sets were the best I've ever seen in the history of television. And the actress, one day she will win an Academy Award. Riley Keough, I didn't know what it was about her that was so captivating, because she's not really the classic blonde beauty, so to speak, not the sex pot, but she's perfect as the sex worker who is actually pursuing a career in corporate law. She's in law school, she's a law intern, and on the side she's a a prostitute. And what's interesting is, once you study the series entitled The Girlfriend Experience and see what the writers were doing, you realize that it's not really a double life. She's not really leading a juxtaposition of sex worker and lawyer. They're actually parallel careers, because law and prostitution are parallel careers. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The world that we live in, this emotionally bleak, ruthless world that we live in, is expressed in her two careers, that of a prostitute who feels almost nothing in her sexual endeavors, and in the law profession where everyone cuts everyone's heart out. She has no sustained emotional attachments. She has no friends. She fears she may be a sociopath. And yet the only time in the series when you see this character, Riley, as played by Riley Keough, when you see her feel warmth, is with one of her senior citizen male clients. This is an amazing story about the world that we live in, a world of shallowness and detachment. And I want to talk about it because I do news, views, and reviews on the Savage Nation. I have for many years. And again, this actress, Riley Keough, is Elvis Presley's granddaughter, by the way. I didn't know it going into it. I didn't watch it. Oh, there's Elvis Presley's granddaughter. I didn't know what it was about her face that seemed so familiar. I have no idea, because she's not inherently movie star, knock you dead, you know, classic, you know, kind, but there's something there. I didn't know what it was. I said, wait a minute, she looks a little like Elvis. But that's not what makes the series great. It's everything else. And I'm going to review it a little later on the Savage Nation. I think it's on Stars, the Stars Network, which is rather obscure. It's not as big as HBO. I get it. But I had another series years ago that I love called Magic City about Miami. I love that one. Not everyone liked that one either. It died after two seasons. So, look, let's talk about all these things on the Savage Nation. The main theme today is how we've gone from God, guns, and gays in the conservative side to Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. What do conservatives care about today? This is the one and only Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Well, he's not transgendered. Mick Jagger's not a transgender. And he's a white male. I mean, it's a despised music source. So could it get produced? I kind of doubt it. Oh, that's so retro. We can't play that kind of stuff anymore. No, no, we have a whole different audience in America. It's a totally different audience in America. But is it really a different audience in America? Isn't talent enough? Doesn't talent transcend race? Shouldn't it transcend race? I always thought it did. Well, whatever. Corey on KIM. You know, this is a great station. KIMM in South Dakota. I think this is the first call we ever had from that station. Corey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to thank you for shutting that guy down talking about my people, the Lakota, from South Dakota. I am 100% Lakota. And my grandfather, you can Google him. My great-grandfather was Martin Charger. My father was Terry Charger. He was one of the original delegates to Washington, D.C. when the reservations were started in the United States. And Martin Charger, my great-grandfather, was one of the original Trans Arc, which was, they called them those without bows, because we laid our bows down, because one of the things that he said was, we have got to stop killing each other. We were very, very, very mean to each other.
The thing about you're talking about, you're a Lakota Native American. You're saying that, you're confirming what I know to be true, which is that the tribes were killing each other. And your grandfather was wise enough to say, we've got to stop killing each other.
Yeah, and that's really where everything that we base our a lot of our ceremonies around now is based around food. Because, like he says, let's sit down and eat together and stop killing each other, because it's not doing our societies any good.
Well, I've heard the same message coming in certain minority communities here from wise men, but they're not heard very often. There are those in minority communities who are killing each other, and apparently the president ignores it. He says others are doing it to them.
Right. It drives me absolutely crazy to think these African-Americans think that they understand our plight, that we are the same victims that they are, and that's not true. You know, I you know, I was born and raised on a reservation. I went to the military. I got my master's degree. I have a family. I work for a living. And I've never drank alcohol, and I don't do drugs. So
in other words, you have great self-respect and great self-constraint.
Trump supporter, too. Can you be a native with Trump?
Native Americans for Trump. That's funny. You would be the perfect person for the communists to try to agitate and say and have you say you hate him, right?
Well, yeah. You know, and to drive my point, too, is even to this day, I don't know if you've heard of the, they call them the Chippewa, you know, but we call them the Ojibwe. The Lakota and the Ojibwe for centuries have not gotten along with each other, still to this day. The Cheyenne...
What is it over? Some ancient land dispute? What was it over?
Well, it was. If you're looking around, like the Ojibwe and the Lakota come from up in the Minnesota area.
It was probably over fishing rights or hunting rights, territorial invasion, whatever. And these things last forever. Look at the Muslims, the Shia versus the Sunni. 1,000 years later, they're blowing each other up over something that happened 1,000 years ago. They consider all Shiites to be apostates because they're not descended directly from Muhammad. Can you believe this?
Oh, I can't believe it. I was there. I served over there. I know.
But why do we bring them in the country with this hatred? How do we go on as a nation without recognizing we're killing ourselves?
I tell you what, I'm a member of the Akiki Tahioka, Full Soldier Society. And let me tell you what, they come over here to South Dakota and want to start doing that, you know, burkas and start telling us to wash our feet and pray to the Quran and Muslim. They're going to have a whole bigger fight than they ever dreamed of, you know, because that was one of the rules. Like when the Catholics came to the reservation and said, they're going to speak English and they're going to worship our God. And we said, the hell with you, you know, and it never happened.
Do your people, the Lakota people, I mean, obviously you're a former military master's degree, in your tribal lore, do you still use any psychedelics? Is it prevalent in your society, or that's the desert people, right?
No, sir. The Lakota people, we do the sun dance. It's our most sacred ceremony. It's the first full moon in July. It's the healing of Mother Earth ceremony is what it is. I am part of the Kitsita Hayota, the Full Soldiers.
You know, one of these days I'd like to meet you. I'd like to learn more about your tribal customs with regard to birth and death and the cycles of birth and death. Because your people have been in North America for how many generations? What, 10,000 years? Archaeologically a fact?
Well, there's petroglyphs up here in South Dakota and around Lake Minnetonka, Minnesota, stuff like that.
I think he said South Dakota. Now, my people are in South Florida. They've been there 50 years. I'm joking. You're a great guy. I'm sending you Teddy and me. I hope that you guys love it on the reservation. Confessions of a Service Human. That's a great call. It was hard to hear because of the phone, but I never would have expected a call like that today. But you heard it first on the Nobel Prize winning Savage Nation. The Marconi Award not winning Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As Hour Unto opens, the curtain lifts on the Savage Nation. We are playing a Native American chant to the radio gods. What's the tribe, Robert? Blackfoot. It's a Blackfoot chant to the gods of radio on the Savage Nation. So here we are talking about the noble savage, and I'm not referring to myself. And we are talking about how we have gone from God, guns, and gays to Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. How I define what conservatives care about today. Because we can't care about gays. That was a topic was neutralized. We're not allowed to talk about God. Obama put the toast on that one. So all we cling to now are our guns. But that's not enough. So now we have something new. Mexicans, Muslims, and metros to worry about. And along comes Donald Trump. Now we're gonna start the hour with on that theme again. And to show you that the Mexican issue is actually a big issue, bigger than you may think, and that there are brown supremacists and racists amongst them as well, by the way, cultural imperialists amongst them as well. Don't assume that if you don't like Trump and if you don't like those of us on the conservative side who you say are racist or this and that, I think you should look on both sides of the aisle and then particularly go in the bathroom and look in the mirror. You may find an answer that you don't want to see, which is you yourself are probably not what you hate. But the bigger point is that there are supremacists on the other side of the border. There are nationalists on the other side of the border. There are racists on the other side of the border. And they have nothing but contempt for the European American who built America, by the way. And there's no better example of that than, first of all, we're going to play Vicente Fox, who threatened war with America. But I think we should begin now with this idiot, the communist from New York, who is sort of a Stockholm Syndrome American. Now suddenly he's an honorary Latino and Mexican in clip number two. Listen to Bernie the Seltzer Man Sanders on the Savage Nation.
We cannot have a president who has insulted Latinos and Mexicans, who has insulted Muslims, who every day is insulting women in one way or another.
Oh,
the American people understand that bringing us together always trumps dividing us up.
The Seltzer Man cometh. Welcome to the Savage Nation. He was very uniting just now, stirring up the Hispanics, the Muslims, and women. Very uniting in his speech just now. Yeah, terrific guy. So one thing about communists is that they're consistent. I'll tell you that. So what's this with the Hillary again? I can't do it. Every day, Hillary this, Hillary that. She lost to Sanders, and he was this, and Trump tacked to the middle. I'm not interested in it, I'll be honest with you. I want the election to happen already. Can we petition the government to hold the election July 4th? We just go and vote, and it's over 3 months early. Is there any way to get it over with early? We know who the candidates are probably going to be already. Can we just vote and get it over with and move on? No. No, we're stuck in some 17th century, 18th century view of elections. And we need to change this. First of all, kids need to go to school 11 and a half months a year. That's number one. This whole thing of 9 months and then the whole summer off to get, you know, involved with drugs and garbage like that. Send them to school like they do in Japan 11 and a half months a year. We're not farmers anymore. They need the summer off because it's too hot to walk to school. We have a thing called air conditioning. Was invented since the agrarian times in America. You know, air-conditioned cars, air-conditioned schools. The kids don't sit in the cornfield, rotting in a schoolroom. That's number one. We don't need them to tend to the crops, to pick the corn. Ugh, God. So that needs to change. Then we need the elections are stuck in the past. The whole thing is nonsense. The whole country's backwards. That's why we're stuck with this kind of candidacy that we have with Hillary Clinton. No other nation on earth would take a candidate with that much baggage, who we all know who she is, enmeshed in so much controversy and crime and runner. I could see a Democrat running, but not her. Where does she have the nerve to pretend she's something new? All right, you know my opinion on that. What's the point? Now, I think the best way to begin this hour. Oh, I just hurt my hand. I just heard it on the broadcast desk. I have a nail clipper. I was playing with it. I pinched my whole finger. What did I do here? I'm going nuts. I pinched my finger with a nail clipper. I swear. This is getting crazier by the day. Must be low blood sugar. Instead of pinching the nail, it went off on its own. If it starts talking to me, that's the day I leave radio. The day my nail clipper starts talking to me as I'm leaving radio, I'm going right to NPR to look for a job. Or if it really starts to talk to me and it walks around the room, the nail clipper, I'm going to ABC and see if they'll do a series with me. With reality television. Let's play the soundbite of the day, which is Vicente Fox basically threatening war with the United States of America because if we don't let more of their poor come here and destroy our borders, language, and culture anymore, why the Mexicans are liable to get their army after us. And if Obama continues to diminish the size of our military, why, they just might have a chance. Let's hear this nonsense now.
We're coming back to the era of the ugly American, which was... The gringo was hated all around the world.
Gringo.
And this guy, pretty soon he got the title now.
Yeah.
He is the ugly American. He is the hated gringo. because yes, he's attacking all of us. He's offending all of us. Imagine, I mean, that could take us to a war, not to a trade war. I can tell you, in Mexico, we have a saying. We say, okay, we are chiquitos. Yeah. We're small, but we're picosos.
Yeah.
We're like the jalapeno. So don't play around with us. Don't play around with us. We can jump walls. We can swim rivers. And we can defend ourselves.
Nice, nice. That's great leadership. That's great. We can jump walls, we can swim rivers, and we can defend ourselves. Very nice, Mr. Fox. For that, you ought to be invited to Sweden to get the Nobel Prize as a warmonger. Unbelievable. Well, maybe Bernie Sanders and he can break matzo together or something like that. I guess I shouldn't have said that. Okay, break a taco together? What is he talking about? Go to war with America over the fact that we have borders, language, and culture and want to defend them? Now you understand why they hate Donald Trump so much. 855-407-2282. If you want to talk about any of these topics, you can call the show. Main topic is we've gone from God, guns, and gays to Mexicans, Muslims, and metros, which I say is what conservatives care about today. It's no longer the social conservative issues. They're gone. They're finished. Now it's about Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. I should say borders, language, and culture, but apparently no one wants to even hear that anymore. You know, that's too passe. So, let's take the calls on the Savage Nation. WFTL, Justin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Just a quick point. I'd like to point out there is a big difference between being a socialist and being a communist. And I think we've grayed the line there. Socialism has been in this country for years in terms of our school system, our post.
We understand that. I've said it myself for 10 years. We're about 60% socialist. And, of course, the worst part of our society are those centralized systems, in my opinion. So you want more centralization? You want to go more towards the Soviet Union?
Well, I don't think we're anywhere near the Soviet Union.
Well, I know you don't think so, but you said, but wait a minute. Maybe I'm misunderstanding you. Are you glorifying socialism or debunking it? I don't know what you're doing.
No, I am basically not glorifying it. I'm saying it's, number one, needed, and number two...
Wait, hold it. What's needed? Tell me what's needed.
Well, for starters, equal education. Equal tax.
What do you mean by equal education? What are you talking about? What does that mean?
Everyone in this country, every child in this country, should be guaranteed an education through, up and to, through college if they deserve it.
Wait, hold on. Now, who is going to pay for this great scheme of yours? Where does the money come from?
It's not a scheme, number one. It's a plan.
No, it's a scheme. Who pays for the other person's child's education?
I think that the child's education, as it is now, from up until high school, it's paid by the people, as should college education be guaranteed. Not necessarily.
But you're saying should. You're giving me a shopping list of things that I, as a taxpayer, should pay for the other person's child's college education. Why should I do that?
Taxpayer, but as a nation, we pay.
Well, what do you mean as a nation? The nation is taxpayers. Where do you think the money comes from?
The money comes from our taxes. You.
So it's the people that would have to pay for your scheme.
It is the people. Absolutely, it's a nationwide program. We pay taxes. Maybe we.
But why should I pay for the other person's child's education? Explain that to me.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you, what you just said.
Of course you understand me, but you can't answer it. All right, we got your point. I owe someone else's child a college education. What else do I owe them that they don't have right now?
It takes a community to raise a child.
I remember Hillary Clinton's statement, but I don't live in a village. I don't live in a communist village. What else do I owe the other person's child that they don't presently get for free?
There is no communism involved here. We live in a country right now where we're... Seriously,
you're not answering my question. Let's try to have a rational discussion. I realize it's been a long time since your wife ran out on you because she couldn't take you anymore. The spritzing and the talk about socialism. And you've been alone all these years. And I know it's hard to have a real conversation, but you're on a national radio show. Tell us what else we, the taxpayer, who are burdened to death, should pay for the next person? What do we owe them?
This is not the way we have an intelligent conversation.
Oh yes, it is the way I have an intelligent conversation. No. I try to insult people like you.
No, you try to insult everybody.
I'm trying to insult you because you're a socialist, because you think that you know what you're talking about. How did socialism work out in the Soviet Union, Marvin?
My name's not Marvin. First of all, socialism did not work out in the Soviet Union. Communism did not work out in the Soviet Union.
Well, why was it called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics?
That's the name.
Oh, so you know more than Joseph Stalin did and what the Russians did. They called themselves socialists, but you're saying they weren't. Okay, they were communists. That didn't work out very well. We agree on that?
We agree on that. We also can agree on that Joseph Stalin was not a socialist, as he was a maniacal despot.
Okay, how did socialism work out in the Third Reich, National Socialism in Germany?
Actually, economically, it was working out very well. Once again, we're talking about a maniacal despot. I'm not talking about the Holocaust. I'm not talking about the deprivation of human rights, civil rights. I'm talking economically, between 1932 and 1939, Germany's economy flourished as none has.
Right. And do you know why it flourished? Do you know anything about why Hitler, or how Hitler made it flourish?
Of course, because the military was boosted up, works projects, as did FDR. People.
Correct. He did almost the same thing that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did and Stalin did, which was works projects administration, meaning government money was pumped into the economies. Centralized economic control made the economy thrive. But what else did Hitler do? Didn't he seize assets of the Jews? Didn't he steal their money, their bank accounts, their art? Didn't he do that?
The Nuremberg, yes, he did, but that's not where the bulk of the economy came from.
I agree with that. Fine. Okay, we agree on that. So you're saying that although they were socialist, they were not really socialist. So now let's have an example of a great socialist economy that works today. Where would that be?
I think that'll be the United States in the event that Bernie Sanders becomes president. And I will.
No, I said, sir, you're not answering the question. Give me an example of a socialist society or culture or country today that is thriving.
Salvador Allende, it was working very well.
Under Allende?
In Chile, it was working.
So why didn't you move to Chile under Allende if it was so great? Why didn't you go there?
Because I'm an American. I'm born and raised in America.
You're not an American. You don't believe in the American way. You believe in the communist or socialist way. Are you a former school teacher or government worker?
I have never worked for the government.
Well, for honest sake, you know what I do. What do you do? What did you do when you worked?
Okay, when I was a realtor.
You're a communist realtor? You were selling real property in a capitalist nation, and you were resenting everyone who you sold land to or a house to?
I never resented anybody, and my clients have been friends for years.
Well, wait a minute. If you were a socialist, why were you selling real estate? That's as capitalist as you can get. I don't follow you.
You are throwing apples and oranges.
I'm not. You're a socialist in your heart, but you were selling real estate. So doesn't that make you a hypocrite?
Of course not.
What do you mean, of course not? I just said it makes you a hypocrite. It does make you a hypocrite. Isn't real estate the most capitalist thing there is? Don't you believe the government should own all the land?
Of course not. But I think there is government land, and people should pay for the use of that government land. But no.
All right, now you're going in circles. What you're espousing is socialism for dummies. But in reality, socialism has never worked anywhere on Earth. It's a disaster. It kills the desire to create and innovate. Do you understand that?
Of course I do, but I disagree with you. I think some of the...
I mean, of course you do. Why would I work, if there was socialism taxing me at 95% of my income, would I ever go on the radio again? Why would I work?
Well, first of all, why do you assume 95% of the income?
All right. Have a nice day, Bernie. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUICOIN. Welcome back to the Moody Savage Nation program. Am I a villain or a hero? It depends upon your politics. If you're a socialist who wants to take other people's money and give it away, then I am a villain. If you're a person who believes in achievement and hard work, then I'm a hero. Are you supposed to sympathize with me or villainize me? Again, it depends upon which side of the aisle you're on. The fact is, though, that I'm a human being. I'm the main character of this play called The Savage Nation. It's a one-man show that's been running on Broadway and everywhere else for 22 years now. And apparently there are more people who like me than don't like me. And so we're still going to get the cranks calling for socialism, saying it's not communism. But everyone knows that socialism is only a degree of communism. And of course this nation is partly socialist and has been ever since FDR instituted so many of these socialist programs. I'll be back in a minute on The Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
As you know, I'm introducing more books again, as I used to do back in the 90s, and there's a book out that I ordered called Moguls, Monsters, and Madmen. It's about people in show business, and the author is Barry Averich. He's been around the big ones in Hollywood for a long time as a film and TV director and producer and a veteran marketing executive. The fact is that I read a few of the stories in here, especially that on Harvey Weinstein, one of my bete noirs on The Savage Nation, because of his hypocrisy, meaning Weinstein's hypocrisy, constantly espousing peace and love and saying he's against guns, and every movie he made has someone getting butchered or shot in it. So we have Mr. Averich with us with his book, Moguls, Monsters, and Madmen, right now on The Savage Nation. Mr. Averich, welcome to the program.
Hello, Doctor.
Barry, what a great book. So how did you get access to all these people?
Well, just actually by reaching out to them. I mean, there's no question when you're 30 documentaries into it, the agents and the publicists return the phone calls. These are all people looking for some kind of attention, even if I'm going to make a film about them that they don't want really made. But it started with The Last Mogul and grew from there.
But The Last Mogul was about Lou Wasserman, one of the previous giants of Hollywood. I'm particularly obsessed with Harvey Weinstein. And I don't know where he fits in your book. I'm sure you met him a few times. I loved your interchanges as described in the book. What can you tell us about Mr. Weinstein?
Well, spending any time with him is, I don't know if you remember that scene in the movie Ben-Hur when you're being whipped as you row that giant ship. So it's a little of that. And little of the postman always rings twice. I mean, like a lot of these moguls, on a one-to-one basis, he's extraordinarily seductive and manipulative and brilliant at the same time. So it's I've never was intimidated. He's a force, and he's also got, I think 2 ounces of Charles Foster Kane in him. So I worry a little bit on what the future is.
Now, Harvey Weinstein distributed Quentin Tarantino's first film, Reservoir Dogs. Miramax broke the indie record in 1994 with the horrible movie Pulp Fiction, which grossed more than $200 million because of the gore. Okay, people are entitled to watch what they want. I'm not into censorship. But what impresses me about Harvey Weinstein is that he constantly talks about peace and love and such. He's against guns, and yet so many of his movies are about violence. How is that possible?
That is the dichotomy about a man who's physically large man who's self-described as a nerd who's married to one of the most beautiful women in the world. I think it was Ken Auletta in New Yorker magazine that called Beauty and the Beast. I think in the history, Michael, of filmmaking, you've always had these studio moguls and these executives who have been great philanthropists and donors at anti-war functions and then make films that are outrageously violent. I don't think that's going to change at any time. I mean, his argument will be that these films are just purely entertainment. But I even sitting through Tarantino's last film, which was abysmally boring, I remember getting to the intermission, and there was an intermission in this film, and the people next to me said, "Has anyone been shot yet? This is boring."
Yeah. What was that movie about? The bear? The one in the woods with Leon DiCaprio with the bear?
Leo DiCaprio. That was The Revenant. No, Harvey's film was the Tarantino sort of Sergio Leone.
It was a huge bomb. It was a huge bomb. You know what I was interested in this book about Hollywood? You know, I live part-time in Beverly Hills, by the way, and I don't know a lot of people down there. I know a few actors. I won't mention their names. I'm not throwing names around. And some of them are quite conservative politically. They're not allowed to function in Hollywood in any way if they show any love for America. Why is Weinstein such a leftist? Is it because it's of benefit to him financially, or is it because of his background in Queens, New York? What's the answer there?
I don't, you know, first of all, you know, and I know this might make six people change the channel. I'm a Canadian, so I can't sort of wax on about his specific...
No, but Barry, my mother was born in Canada. She was actually born in Montreal. It could turn out we're relatives after the show. We should talk.
Especially if we've shared a Schwartz smoked meat sandwich. I think it's for Harvey to be a leftist, as you say, because that's a liberal arts community in Hollywood. He wants to be invited. He came from nothing and built a massive brand for himself, and I don't think anybody's going to succeed in Hollywood as a right-wing maniac.
Well, you automatically assume anyone who's conservative is a right-wing maniac. I would disagree with that, Barry. That's part of my job here on the program. So then you write about some of these other people. By the way, the Harvey Weinstein Project never saw light, correct?
That's correct.
Barry.
Yeah.
The movie you were doing, the documentary on him never saw light. He blocked it.
He allegedly blocked it. IFC, which stands for Independent Film Channel, and I don't know that there's anything independent about them, bought the film, I believe, under the direction or suggestion of Harvey Weinstein, who's good friends with the owners of IFC, the Dolan family, and then the film conveniently disappeared.
Yeah, I couldn't even open the DVD that someone sent me. I wouldn't play in any of my computers. So who else is in the book that the average person would want to get some gossip about? I mean, what I loved about Weinstein, just to go back to him for a minute, I was shocked. Well, I was surprised to learn that he grew up in the same neighborhood I grew up in, number one, in the area of Flushing, New York, and that his father took him to the art theater, which was a block from my little attached house. It was called the Mayfair Theater. I was shocked to read about that in this book.
Correct. I mean, that's where he began, and I do believe, you know, it was influenced tremendously by seeing those films. Whatever we want to say about him, that's the dichotomy of this man who does, you know, you sit and talk to him about film and editing. He is a great cinephile.
You know, I have a friend who had two big hits in Hollywood. Maurice Kanbar produced some kind of animated movies a couple of years ago. Harvey Weinstein distributed them. So I heard some Harvey stories. I won't repeat them on the air because I respect my friend too much. But he said he went to Harvey when my friend wanted to produce the Michael Savage story. And Harvey said, look, I hate his politics, but I'm a businessman. Of course I would consider distributing it. That's what I was told a few years ago. Would you believe it?
Well, I completely believe it. I mean, why does Harvey still talk to me? I mean, we were right up until that Hollywood Reporter article that ran an excerpt on his life. I mean, he's been completely cordial because we live in the world of Hollywood, which is called you never know when you might need someone or they might have a story or a film that they want.
Now, you're a Canadian. How often are you in Hollywood? How often do you live there?
All the time. I don't live there full-time, but back and forth, same hotel, 30 years, love it.
Which hotel do you stay in?
The Sunset Marquis.
I've got to stop in there for a martini one of these days. I like the book. It's interesting. Moguls, Monsters, and Madmen, Barry Averich. Barry, any other big stories here that the average person would be interested in?
You know, to me, the book, Michael, is The Kid Stays in the Picture, combined with You'll Never Eat Lunch in This Town Again. It, you know, if you like old Hollywood stories from Frank Sinatra to Tony Bennett, Liza Minnelli, Hugh Hefner, Guccione, Lauren Bacall, they're all in there.
You live in Toronto. It's very interesting. You built the Daniels Hollywood Theater, the first movie theater in a hospital for sick kids. Is that correct? Barry, did you build that, the first movie theater in a hospital?
I did. I was visiting somebody in the hospital and saw a young child trying to hold a video player in their hospital bed to watch a film, and I said to myself, there must be a better way for kids that are stuck in the hospital or sadly terminal to watch movies while they're there. So I approached the hospital. I said, I'll give you 48 hours to say yes or no, but I'll raise the money. I want to build a movie theater inside your hospital and persuade the studios to give us first run films. And we opened the theater and Jeff Katzenberg gave us our first film, Shrek, and it's been a big hit since.
That's beautiful, to help the kids who are really sick. The book is Moguls, Monsters, and Madmen by Barry Averidge. Barry, I'm going to send you a copy of my new book about Teddy and I, Teddy and Me, because Teddy's definitely going to become the next Lassie. So if you're looking for a great documentary about a dog, I can speak to his agent right after we get off the air.
I'd love it.
Barry, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation. Folks, Moguls, Monsters, and Madmen by Barry Averidge. When I come back, we'll go back to, let's take a few calls on that right now. By the way, Robert, get Barry's contacts for me, because I definitely want to buy him a Knish in Beverly Hills and see if I could get him to do a movie about Teddy. And we'll see if that happens. Teddy is going to be the next Lassie. I just know that. By the way, whatever happened to Bo, the presidential dog? I'm not being facetious. Remember he used him during two campaigns? Is he still in the White House or not? I don't see him anymore. He doesn't need him anymore. After he got elected, did they ditch him? They let him go on the highway? Where is the dog? Is the dog still enjoying the lap of luxury there or what? Has anyone seen Bo recently? Where is he, the presidential dog? I'm very curious. I'm worried about it. KSFO, Nancy, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Nancy?
Michael, I saw you on Newsmax TV a couple of days ago, and I was amazed at how charming you are on TV. And, you know, you always have said you're not a TV guy, but if more women could see you, and, you know, they hear the gruff voice on the radio, but to see you and the love you had in your eyes and in when you spoke about Teddy, I mean, I wasn't that interested in buying the book, to be honest with you. Well, after I heard that interview, I got to read this book. To take the words from Chris Matthews, I felt a tingle up my leg. I really did.
Oh, well, okay. If that's a suggestive statement, I accept it, Nancy.
You, to see you animate, I've not seen pictures of you. I go to your website. I've listened to you forever. But just,
I'm a charming guy. I mean, you got to be careful around me. You never know where you're going to wind up when you talk to me. Dogs and children love me, that's for sure. Liberals, I'm not so sure about. Well, Nancy, thanks for saying I'm so charming and handsome, and you can all see it, by the way, if you go to michaelsavage.com. The story's up on the top right. My appearance on the Steve Malzberg Show on Newsmax. I did open up. You know what it is that I wasn't talking about politics. You could see a different side of me because I'm talking about, you know, a creature that I happen to care for, that I like. The softest side, if you want to put it that way. Put down the politics and pick up the man. You know what I'm saying? It just opened me up to who I really am in a certain way. Of course you can be a nice person and a conservative. I guess that's the shock, Nancy. People think that if you're a conservative, you're not a nice guy. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I get that too.
Let me ask you something. What do you think Bernie Sanders is like on the inside, Mr. Nice Guy? He's probably a monster. What do you think, Barack Obama's the nice guy in his private moments? You don't think he might be monstrous?
See,
what I'm saying is you can be a Mr. Socialist Liberal and a murderer inside. A horror case. Why do you assume that they espouse liberalism, they're nice guys? They're probably awful people, most of them. Hateful, awful people, Nancy. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. God's Guns and Gays became what? Well, that's my show topic today. It's my catchphrase. It became what? Where is it? Where's my lead in here? I forgot already. We went from God, guns, and gays to Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. And we're going to talk about that. And some would say that while in the 50s there was a phrase, better dead than red, when we were anti-communist, the new phrase should be better dead than Ahmed. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, here in San Francisco, the insane people who run the city are devolving more rapidly into mental illness. Not only have they met the Board of Stinking Visors to talk about the Sanctuary City policies that led to the killing of Kate Steinle, and before that, of course, there was a father and two sons executed in San Francisco by a Mr. Ramos, another fine immigrant. The maniacs who run the city want to expand the city's Sanctuary City possible. Now, as you know, the Sanctuary City policy of San Francisco was responsible for the presence of an illegal alien who last year shot and killed a poor innocent woman, Catherine Steinle, who was just sightseeing with her father in San Francisco. A few years ago, Mr. Ramos, another wonderful prize immigrant, gang member, of course, who had been in prison a few times, released by the psycho liberals, went on a rampage and killed a father and his two sons right in front of the mother. I raised money for that woman, by the way. That's a long time ago. You won't find it anywhere. But here we are. The Sanctuary City's policies have led to the numerous murders and crime from the harbored criminals. Trump is the only visionary out there who is saying it's time to end Sanctuary Cities, and this is why they hate them. I mean, if you were a gangbanger, would you want Trump to be president? If you were someone who was making a fortune as a criminal lawyer bringing in illegal aliens by gaming the system as an immigration lawyer, who, by the way, are the worst variety of lawyers in the world. Don't get me started on immigration lawyers, because if I ever advise Trump, they go to jail. They go to prison. All the immigration lawyers in San Francisco are called before a judge in a grand jury, and their crimes are held up for all to see, what they have done in tricking the system with false marriages, fake green cards, the welfare, the food stamps. Their assets are seized and they're put into prison or they're deported. That's just to put the fear of God into them. This could happen, by the way. There's no question in my mind that Trump is probably going to be the next president. Whether he comes on this show or not is irrelevant to me. And the reason I say that is Hillary got half the support in the primaries yesterday that she got the last time she ran for office. And according to the latest polls, half the Bernie Sanders voters say that if she's the candidate, they will vote for Trump. He's going to win by a landslide, as I told you. I told you that before the primaries. I'm telling you that again. He will be the next president. And when he is president, all hell is going to break loose in this country, because all of these left-wing gangsters who have used the law and social services to game the system and rob the taxpayer, they're going to be fleeing this country, because their crimes will be exposed. There will be committees formed. There will be congressional hearings on them. And they will probably go to prison, many of them, for the outright thievery that they have conducted over these last number of years. They know it better than we do, because they know how much money they have stolen by gaming the system. They know how many illegal aliens they have brought into this country who don't belong here. They know how many false marriages they have arranged. They know how many green cards they purchased for these illegal aliens. They will be found out, and they will be tried. There will be consequences. Have a nice break, because I'll be back in the next hour.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Beginning of the destruction, the devils with guitars. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. Oh, I get high with a little help from my friends. And then you wake up, the next thing you know, there's no friends and there's no country left. Hey, welcome to Hour 3. Remember years ago I wrote a book called Immigrants and Epidemics? Nobody would publish it. Remember that story? Well, my friends, here's some proof that I was 100% right and I should be given a Nobel Prize. Measles outbreak in Memphis began at a mosque. Oh, yeah. You see, I wrote a new book a while ago, an e-book called Diseases Without Borders. It became a bestseller as an e-book. You didn't hear about it because hush, hush, my friends. Hush, hush, my darling. That's not a topic for old Wolfie to play. That's not a topic for old Jakey to play. No, my friends, but you see, microbes do not discriminate. They don't care if you're white, black, Hispanic, Native American, un-Native American. They don't care if you worship Allah, Jesus, or Moses. You see, microbes don't discriminate. They're extremely socialistic. And so when old Obama brought in all those refugees from the Middle East, he could care less about immigrants and epidemics. What are those crackers in Tennessee going to do about it, he said to himself as he high-fived his pals in the White House and flooded Tennessee. Well, my friends, the first public place where there was a public exposure to measles was the Masjid al-Nur Mosque, said Dr. Elisa Haushalter, director of the Shelby County Health Department. She said the mosque is one location we know that individuals who are infectious were during their infectious period, but that's not necessarily where the first case occurred. I don't want you to draw conclusions without sufficient information. So, my friends, the measles epidemic could have originated somewhere else, such as in a moonshine clinic or in an outhouse. And, of course, you can't sue anyone in an outhouse or anyone who made moonshine, but you could certainly sue anyone who says that immigrants bring epidemics, because that's a no-no. Now, it's true that my grandfather had to come through Ellis Island in order to become an American citizen, where they insensibly tested for illness. Imagine how backwards America was in my grandfather's time, when the immigration authorities actually asked someone if they had a way to make a living, and checked them to see if they had tuberculosis or other infectious diseases. Can you imagine how primitive and racist America was when so many of those who listened to this show had grandparents who had a similar experience as they came here from Europe and other places? They had to go through a screening process to see if they were infectious? That is such yesterday. I mean, the modern times that we live in, with the geniuses who run the CDC, who realize that they can wipe out any illness that appears. We don't need to screen for tuberculosis or bubonic plague. We don't need to screen for anything, because the geniuses at the CDC can control it, not. So, my friends, refugees being resettled in the United States have not been subject to immunization requirements. You understand that? They come from these third world hellholes where there are no immunizations. And so they're bringing us the wonderful products of the third world that they have brought, that they experience in nations such as Mexico, Iraq, Syria, Thailand, Nepal, Malaysia, Kenya, Ethiopia, and Uganda. These nations are not required to demonstrate that they have received immunizations of the individuals from those nations, including measles. Because if you ask them when they're coming in from Nepal, Malaysia, Kenya, Ethiopia, and Uganda, for example, if they've received immunizations, that can be considered racism. And you don't want to express racism. It's better to wipe out the entire population than express any kind of uncomfortable question. Of the 1,601 refugees resettled in Tennessee in fiscal 2015, 186 of these prizes were resettled in Memphis, according to a report provided by the Greedy Catholic Charities of Tennessee, which, as you know, is a slush fund that administers the refugee program in Tennessee on behalf of the federal government under the Wilson Fish Alternative Program. Now, you may hear the word Catholic charities and think that they're nice Catholics. But, my friends, it's a slush fund, like all the other religious slush funds, that are businesses that are separated from the religions themselves. I can go on and on. Immigrants, unfortunately, are coming in with epidemics. And we, the people, are suffering as a result of the resettlement of these refugees, many of whom are coming in without vaccination. And now we have a measles infestation in Tennessee. And so, my friends, now you know why we need not only a wall, but many walls. And now on to the callers on the Savage Nation, now that I've cleared the air on immigrants and epidemics. This immigrant son will now turn it over to the callers at 855-400-7282. Let's start in Washington, D.C., WMAL. Laurel, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. You are just such a great person to listen to. I can't think of anybody else better to listen to on my days and my days at work. And I was telling your call screener how much I love Teddy. You have such a wonderful dog. I wanted to was calling because I heard you speaking in your last segment in reference to Beau Obama.
Yeah, the presidential dog. Where is he?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I met Beau Obama when Beau Obama, I met him 3 days before he went to the president. I had him at my dog grooming shop here in Virginia and groomed him. I got to groom him because the trainer at the time was a very dear friend of mine. She's now deceased. And I have.
But Beau is a beautiful Portuguese water spaniel, isn't he?
Yes, a Portuguese water dog, and he was.
But where is Beau? Is he still in the White House enjoying the fat, living off the fat of the land? Where is he?
Oh, I don't know. That is the biggest question I know.
Well, where is the dog? The president used the dog during two elections, and where is he today? I mean, it's a fair question. Have they given him away? Is he in a kennel somewhere? Is he still in the White House? I don't think it's an unfair question. Do you?
It's a very good question. And a very good question, too, is what...
Yeah, I haven't seen the dog. He hasn't been seen for years. Where is he? He's like George Bush. He's nowhere to be seen.
You know he got a second Portuguese water dog as well, but I will tell you this. When I groom Beau Obama 3 days before he did go to the president, I have to tell you, I stood back and I said to myself, what is this man getting this dog for? This is too good of a dog. And I have to tell you, he was 6 months old, trained phenomenally, excellent. And I don't know. That is a very
good. So how old would he be today? You was Beau brought into the White House during the first administration?
He was. He was brought in the first administration. And
so what is he, about 8? He's about 8 years old now?
Yes. Say about.
I hope he's well. I hope that Beau is well. That's the whole purpose of the call. I don't know where he went. I know politicians use people like yesterday's newspaper. You know, they use them and then throw them out. I hope the same isn't true for the dog. I hope he's still enjoying his life inside the White House, living the lap of luxury that all those in the White House are enjoying on the taxpayer dime. All right, Lauren, thank you. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human by Michael Savage, the number one New York Times best-selling author, in case you don't know. It'll be a collector's item in years to come. The phone number is 855-400-7282. That's the phone number. KSFO, Kevin, welcome to the Savage Nation. Kevin, what's on your mind?
Michael, I wanted to call and respond to the third world nations bringing diseases into the country because I'm a testament. I'm a living, breathing individual that was infected with what is called the hand, foot, and mouth disease through a daycare where my little nephews had attended, where there were individuals that, that are from other nations.
Oh, yeah.
Infected 50% of the, 75% of the kids. And it's very rare for adults to get what they call the hand, foot, and mouth disease, which is a fever, starting with a fever and a blistering effect, and at this point it has affected my inner ear to the point of constantly ringing. And so my cousin...
Well, it's very racist to insist that you look at the sanitation of immigrants. And as you well know, the third world is well known for its health superiority. And, if the poor children can get the virus that causes sores in the mouth and a rash in the hands and feet, why should children in America not be subject to that? Why should the third world children only be subjected to hand, foot, and mouth disease? I think it would be more fair if everyone was infected with it, because that would spread it around. Like spreading the wealth is the same thing spreading the disease. See, you gotta look at it from the socialist point of view, Kevin. Is that you were immune from this disease because you lived in a first world nation until Obama came along. But now that there's fairness everywhere, it's only fair that you get hand, foot, and mouth disease and experience what poor children in the third world have been experiencing. Don't you see it?
Yeah, and Michael, in adults, it can cause the disease in your spine. I forget the name of it. It's deadly. You can die.
But that's multiculturalism. Multiculturalism means that we should all share and all be equal. And so they should live as well as you do, or you should live as poorly as they did. And you should have the diseases that we were immune to in this first world until Obama came along. And like the evil Dr. Silvana is now trying to infest America with as much of the third world as he possibly can and squeeze every ounce of change that he can until he is finally out of the White House. So this is just the beginning, by the way. This is going to be the gift that keeps on giving. I went to a clinic this morning to have blood drawn. I just needed blood drawn for some tests. It was like going into Lourdes Cathedral. It was a third world hellhole. I said to myself, what happened to my country? They're right here now. They're in the clinic having their blood drawn, the whole family. What's this scam now? Who sent them here? Happy, happy people not working, getting blood tests, medical tests, legal tests. Everything for nothing in great America. I like to be in America. Everything free in America. Remember West Side Story? It didn't start today, by the way. I like to be in America. Everything free in America. You know how it works. Great country, this country. Greatest country on earth. The wisest nation on the planet. A nation that takes in America, into America, the world's poor and sick and hungry. Now you say, well, isn't that American? Isn't that what your grandfather had when he came here? No, my friends, it's not. The very famous statement that is written on the, emblazoned on the Statue of Liberty says, give me your poor, your tired, and your hungry. Right. But there was no welfare then. Did you know that? And of course, it was a scam. The reason they were taking in so many Eastern Europeans, Italians, and Irish, and Jews, were to work like slaves in the factories. Mainly the Jews went into the needle trades. They needed 30,000 people to run the sewing machines. So they let in the Eastern Europeans who could become tailors and such. The Italians were very good at physical labor and masonry. They broke their backs building the buildings and the cathedrals all over the East Coast and right into the Midwest. Same for the Irish. Also, they were sold a bill of goods of give me your poor, your tired, and your hungry. It wasn't a benevolent statement. It was really to seduce them in coming here to work hard, and they did. There was no welfare. And that's why the statement made sense. Of course, give me your poor, your tired, and your hungry so we can exploit them. I'll be back on the Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Hey, ole, ole, Allah, Allah. We learned that yesterday on the show. All right, it's the people's show. This is not a socialist show, but it is. Talk radio is fundamentally a people show. We open it up to the people. Let's go to Sam on KSFO. Sam, what's on your mind?
The phrase white people. I want to challenge your use of it.
Well, we're hanging in the air, waiting for you to do so.
Oh, I for one, I got to say first, just as a caveat, like, I think you're offering one of the more important messages Americans can hear today, which is that there are some truths that are better than others, and that they come from certain places. But I feel like the phrase white people is misleading. It is as misleading as the phrase black people. I think what it does is it covers up the Anglo history of this country, and that, as you were just saying, even, that what was a largely Anglo sort of adventure here in the colonies, as the 1800s rolled on, that, you know, they incorporated the tribes of Europe slowly and angrily.
But I think you're losing the main point. My article was entitled White Male Inventions, and I gave you names like Ampere, Bell, Caselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, and Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other white males. They're certainly not Anglos. There may be one or two in there, but most of them are not Anglos, by the way. Marconi wasn't from an Anglo background.
No, they weren't. Like, and that's what I think is...
Wait, Teller and Cohen were from Ashkenazi Jewish people. Einstein, Ashkenazi Jewish people. They were not Anglo in origins.
He's a good example, because the Italians, as you were just suggesting, right, like, during the 1800s, as Southern Europeans, you know, like, people that, you know, Anglos would look at and not see as white, right? Like, a British person, you know...
But they are considered European Americans, these people. And my point was, is they were great men and great inventors.
With you. And I think it's important for Americans to know that those ideas do, they emanate from Europe. Like, there's people think differently in different places.
All right, I think we agree, but we're not agreeing to agree. We're just agreeing to talk, which is not, we're not getting anywhere. Sean on KSFO, fire away. You have 50 seconds. What's on your mind?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago I was watching The Godfather on TV, and they were showing Vito Corleone when he came to America. He was at Ellis Island.
Yep.
I think they said he had smallpox. They put him in quarantine for 3 months. And they
right.
saw the, you could kind of tell all the different people from different countries by the way they were dressed. Well, 2 days after that, I'm down at the Department of Motor Vehicles. My son's taking his driving test to get his license. And I was kind of observing, looking around, looking at all the different things written in 20 different languages. And I thought, oh, my God, this is our Ellis Island now.
Well, I called the DMV in California 10 years ago. I called it the Department of Mexican Voting. Because Janet Reno, to her eternal damnation, turned our motor vehicle bureaus into one-stop shops to make them into instant voters in order to pervert the entire electorate. DMV, Department of Mexican Voting.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Muslims, Muslims. We've gone from God, guns, and gays to Mexicans, Muslims, and metros. So now we have the first Muslim as mayor of London. Instead of settling down to taking care of the problems of London, he's sticking his beak into America and is attacking Donald Trump, which tells you why we need Donald Trump. Sadiq Khan pledges to help Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump. The first Muslim mayor of a major Western capital, instead of paying attention to the potholes of England, is trying to manipulate a foreign election. Now, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about this man and his background, and despite his protestations to the contrary, who he thinks he is and how he is afflicted by the megalomania that we fear, I don't know what will teach you this lesson. He said he's going to use his successful campaign as a template to defeat Donald Trump, not to fix the potholes of England, not to stop the terrorism in England. No, no, no. He's going to teach us a lesson. He's going to teach us a lesson over here on the other side of the pond. So that's Sadiq Khan. Of course, he couches it in something as slick as Obama. They're calling him England's Obama because he's a smooth talker, man. This is, they got their Obama for sure. Listen to this great, this man's accent and perfect English in clip three. Listen to this one.
I am the West. I'm a Londoner. I'm British. I'm European. I'm of Islamic faith. Well, what's important is that, you know, I'm not treated as some exceptional case. What I want to see is that, you know, decent Muslims from all around the world are able to go to America, and that the, you know, that Donald Trump doesn't play into the hands of extremists who say it's impossible to be Western and to be Muslim, but there is some sort of clash of civilizations.
Right, right, right. The same big lie, right. Hands of extremists. If you stand up for your country, suddenly you're an extremist. If you look at what radical Islam is doing around the world, you're an extremist. If you notice that almost all acts of terrorism are committed by Muslims, and certainly not all Muslims are terrorists, we understand that it was written by a Muslim, that statement. Don't accuse me of it. I had him on the show 10 years ago when he said certainly not all Muslims are terrorists, but it's almost 100% true that almost all terrorism is committed by Muslims. What does that tell us, Mr. Khan, that we're stupid for trying to hold on to our way of life and defend ourselves? Okay, now you understand the whole story here. Mike on WNTW in Virginia, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Mike?
Hey, Dr. Savage. I was listening earlier, and I heard you make a comment about the girlfriend experience.
Now, unbelievable television show. The actress Riley Keough, Elvis Presley's granddaughter, is going to win an Academy Award one day for her acting. Don't you agree?
Yes, it's an amazing program because it's almost addictive in that you watch it. It's so different from anything else you see on TV.
Right. It's on an obscure cable network, Stars, so most people don't even know what we're talking about, Mike, but I'm a man who loves great art no matter where it appears, and this is brilliant writing, acting, and art direction. And it shows, okay, what is it about? It's called The Girlfriend Experience. It's about a young lady who is a law student and an intern in a large law firm in a major American city, probably Chicago. And on the side, she's a prostitute.
a high-end call girl or a high-end escort, as they call themselves today, in order to make ends meet. And although the sex worker and the law profession are seen as juxtapositions where she's hiding her secret life, what you see as you watch this series is that these two careers of law and prostitution are actually parallel with one another. Don't you agree? In other words, they're both soulless and ruthless.
I mean, probably some of the best lawyers prostitute themselves every day.
That's what I'm saying. So I thank you for calling. No one else has seen this, and I don't expect most people know who she is, Riley Keough. I didn't know she was Elvis Presley's granddaughter. I didn't watch it because of that. I only looked at it in as I studied. It's a moody, dark series. You don't know if the heroine is a villain or a hero. You don't know whether you're supposed to sympathize or villainize her. You just don't know what to make about the main character. And her expressions and her silences speak louder than any dialogue and overacting I have seen in years. That's the whole point. Whoever directed this and wrote this found the perfect actress because she does more with a look and as the look of her eyes or the way she moves her cheeks or even her lips, the slight movement. She speaks very loudly without saying a word. And the of course, you got to understand that Steven Soderbergh is the director. And he's one of the greatest. He did Sex, Lies, and Videotape. But you have to be into this kind of dark, moody thing to enjoy it. And as I say, it takes you into the real world of the legal profession and the scenes inside the offices and the hotels and the apartments are phenomenal. The director of photography should win some kind of award. The casting and the lighting and the scenery, they're all wonderfully done. And, of course, the main character, Christine, who is basically friendless. She has no boyfriend. She only has clients. She's a dauntless girl. She's introverted. She's aggressive. She's rational. She's practical. She's naive and she's sexy all at once. And that's why I watched it. I mean, I became captivated by it. At first, I thought it was just softcore pornography. You know what? I'm going to just watch it. It's probably pandering to the male to just show sex scenes. But the sex scenes are the least important part of the entire show, by the way. Now, most of you don't have cable. I get it. That's why you listen to radio, because it's free. I'm not knocking. I'm just saying I understand the mediums are they're opposite. People who listen to talk radio generally don't watch obscure cable shows like this, but I do. And that's why I talk about it. One more call during the show, I break something. Who calls me during a show? It's either Rite Aid calling about a prescription that I picked up 2 weeks ago, over and over again, a robocall, or a political caller. Every day I get political calls, you know, hi, I'm Mike, I'm doing a political survey. You know, it's a robocall, probably run by the Hillary campaign. If you care to talk about any of the topics I have mentioned today, other than the television show on Starz called The Girlfriend Experience, because no one knows what I'm talking about, right? Let's go to TMA in South Carolina. Kay, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage, a.k.a. Hero. Government Zero is brilliant, but I'm actually calling to thank you for the joyful, joyful book of Teddy and Me. It makes me so happy. My husband especially loved the picture of you and Teddy having cocktails with matching jackets.
Oh, I knew. Those are my favorite pictures. At the end of the book, there's a panel of three pictures. It's the last chapter. Wait, I got to turn to it. They are my favorite. So it says, and I wrote the caption. It says, at last, relief has arrived. So it's me holding a martini with Teddy staring me in the eye. He knows exactly what I'm doing. And he's saying, yeah, that looks good. I can't have any. I'm a dog. But what does that feel like, Dad? That's the greatest picture in the book.
Well, your book is now my number one gift for all the people that I love. And I have to tell you, too, that my dog has taken over my pillow, so I have to order her one.
Oh, you mean the ad, the guy who adds on my show, My Pillow, he likes, your dog likes it better than you do?
My dog, Fifi, loves it, so now I have to get her one. That is the best.
Okay, and now the second picture of me and the dog in the bar is, it's number two, Teddy, and away we go.
Yeah.
And the third in the series is a double spread. It's, Ted, I'm feeling no pain. And to all a good night, Ted, did you call Uber? That's the last picture of the book where we're wearing matching jackets. And although he is a silver poodle, I must say that at this stage of my life, I've become a silver man because my hair now matches his. And I do appreciate you calling me. I do enjoy this book, and it was created to send joy out to the world. It's not political at all, right? Kay, thank you so much for that kind call. 1-800-445, that's not my number. It's 855-400-SAVAGE. I almost gave out my number from 10 years ago. My number is 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. We are doing many different things. We're doing the news, views, and reviews. I've told you about so many different things. Let's go to the callers when I come back. And all of the latest news, I'm going to have some breaking news for you, by the way. So don't go away on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. This week is officially the Teddy Nation, because I am his service human. And although he is sleeping, he's actually functioning right now as my service dog, in that he keeps me from going ballistic at most intervals, incidentally. He reminds me there's something else in life other than this, other than complaining about the world that we live in. I mean, it's a great world. I mean, Obama didn't destroy it completely. He's only done as much as he can do to destroy our life as fast as he could. But it shows you how great the country is. You know, it's like a great aircraft carrier. A great aircraft carrier can take hits and not sink because it has watertight compartments. And although Obama and his leftist minions have been firing one torpedo after another at our great aircraft carrier called the United States of America, it's not gone down yet, because the watertight compartments that were built by far greater men than these Lilliputians are still holding. And we've bailed him out. Every time he tries to sink us, we bail out the hole that he just put a hole in. You get it? So here we are, but we have quite a long way to go between now and December. And then, of course, the big question will be, let's say Trump wins. I've raised this before. Do you actually think he's going to build a wall? Do you actually think he's going to ban Muslims? Do you actually think he's going to do half the things he says he's going to do? I'm wondering right now. I'm not turning on him, don't get me wrong. I don't stick my face in a plate of cornflakes like some in television and radio do. But the question is, who is Donald Trump? Now that I see the direction he's going, and now he's raising money in L.A., did you see that story? I know he said he wasn't going to take any money from people, but now it's already, they're out to raise $1 billion. All right, that day had to come. He said he wasn't going to take money, so people are saying he said he wasn't taking money for the primary. All right, fine. Of course he had to raise money. But the question is, who is advising him now? Who's advising Donald Trump? We read that Rudy Giuliani is advising him. Is Rudy Giuliani a conservative? No, he isn't. He's a big city liberal. A good man, a fine man, his better days are behind him. We understand that. But Giuliani is not the conservative that you would want advising Donald Trump if you want borders, language, and culture, is he? Who else is advising him? Well, you've got Jeff Sessions, who is a conservative. Fine, but I'm afraid that Jeff Sessions has already been marginalized by the very same advisors who worked for Mitt Romney and Bob Dole. I think it's the same people, by the way, who have suddenly wormed their way into the Trump inner circle, in my opinion. And we'll have to wait and see. And I don't know whether he's going to be back on the show. I haven't asked them once since the victory. If they want to be on the show, they know where to reach me. I'll go on without him, and he'll go on without me, I'll tell you that. But the question is, why the sudden drop-off of interest in this audience? That's what I want to know. Why the sudden drop-off in interest of the Savage Nation audience? Did they forget that you're going to vote in November or not vote in November? Have they forgotten that already? You know, I saw this before. They assume that the conservative base will come out no matter what because Hillary is such a threat. That's a very, very dangerous assumption to make, because the conservative base was burned by Boehner, by McConnell, by Paul Ryan, and they're liable to not come out and vote. And let me tell you something, he's not going to win without the conservative base. And if he continues to tack to the center, or even to the left, in order to appeal to the great undecided, he's going to lose the base and he'll lose the election. That's what's going to happen. And that's a little free advice. I didn't need to be invited to Trump Tower for that. And whoever listens to this show for Donald Trump, I hope that you write it down and send it to the man himself, because his advisors will shaft him unless you are careful. I've seen it before. I can name who it was done to. She came on this show like a true conservative, Michelle Bachmann. She complained that Nancy Pelosi was out to get her. She appealed to my audience. My audience is the kindest audience in talk radio history. They sent her a ton of money in her congressional campaign. She won again, and then she became an enemy of the Savage Nation. And where is she now? She's on the in the dustbin of history. Why? Because the people are not that stupid. The problem is the advisors continue to think you're that stupid. The advisors continue to think that the audience to this show and other conservative shows are stupid, that you don't really know what's going on, that you're easily manipulated, that you have to vote for him or else you'll get Hillary, and they're going to continue to do Hillary as the devil. I'm not so sure that's going to work, because unless we are sure that we're going to get our money's worth, I don't think we're going to that theater. That's what I think is going to happen. And I really hope that the original people who listened to this show religiously and reported on it to Mr. Trump have not decided to start not listening to this show, because now is the time to start listening to this show. Because without the Savage Nation, you're not going to be president. That's my opinion. Will he build a wall? Will he ban Muslims from entering America? Will he cut taxes for the middle class and raise them on the hedge funders and those at Microsoft and Facebook who use the triple Dutch or the triple Irish tax techniques to evade taxes? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I haven't heard much about that. The phone number here is, well, what's the point? We only have a minute left on the show. And the fact of the matter is I have one caller I want to take, which has nothing to do with politics. Line 5, Mike, on KBET in Las Vegas. Fire away. 50 seconds remain.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Long-time listener. My deceased grandmother never missed her show. We love you. Yeah, I agree with everything you say, but what I guess I called is not that program you're talking about. I read an article about this girlfriend experience, and I guess it's not so much about sex. It's the way our society has gotten so...
Absolutely. That's what's so grim about it. She's a beautiful woman who is a law intern in a big firm and a prostitute on the side. And what you see is the bleakness of both lives, that of the corporate lawyer and that of the hooker. They're almost identical. And she navigates both worlds in this series with very few words and an awful lot of gestures. She's going to win an Academy Award one day, mark my words. Riley Keough, thanks for listening. Be here tomorrow.